After a long weekend of fun, up in the delightful snow-colored hills of New England. Yes, the balmy countryside was the setting. I went to church, too. Yeah, Christmas Eve, there I was in church for the first time in a long time. There's this church near my sister's house, real, one of them old-fashioned ones. It was built like 1850, has only 7 rows of pews. I mean, just a tiny little old country church. And we're sitting in there, and I'm really feeling the bountiful blessings of our sacred sacrament. You know, I'm just kind of grooving on Christmas when in walk these people. Their unusual haircuts. Their shuffling manner. My sister elbowed me. She said, "Look, Nino, it's Luk Thung and his family. They were one of the last few people to get out, and they've settled in our community under the Refugee Relocation Program." I just sat there, my jaw muscles working. Everybody's looking at them, smiling. But I'm sitting there thinking to myself. My sister said, "There's saliva cascading over your lips. What's the matter?" I didn't say anything. I just looked at them. And then the preacher got up to the front of the church and said, "This is an extra special Christmas because we have Long Duck and Ying Yang with us. And they will now sing us a genuine Christmas song from Vietnam, along with children lip-top and flip-flop." And sure enough, they got up in front of the church and started singing that. And all the while they're singing, I'm thinking to myself, because they reminded me of a long, long time ago, back when the name on my uniforms in Grease Minnelli, but everybody knew me as Sergeant Fury. Quang Tree, 1967. You want another real reason I got out of Nam? I was kicked out! On mental grounds. Reason for dismissal. Mentally unstable. Psychopathic personality that used our intervention in Vietnam as an excuse to spray weapons fire into humanity. Prognosis for eventual rehabilitation. Doubtful. Assignment to military hospital. But after a time in the military hospital, I was able to convince them that I had recovered. I was very good at arts and crafts. I did what had to be done. They said, "Yes, Nino Grismanelli is hereby rehabilitated. He may now go." And all the doctors smiled as I left the hospital. I shook all their hands. I shook all their nurses. But if you had been there on the day that I was released, and you'd seen me walk down the street, you'd have seen the smile on my face and the glint in my eye. As once again I returned to the world, only to find myself sitting in a little church in Connecticut, watching this family. Stop it! Stop it! Stop it! I told my sister I don't feel good, so I went outside and I took out my knife and I punctured all the tires on their little stinking car. After the church was over, I could hear him in the parking lot saying, "Who slashed my tire? Who slashed my tire?" The preacher came out. He said, "My God, can you imagine Christmas Eve vandalism like that? Who'd do a thing like that? Who would do a thing like that?" Nobody spoke. They all just looked at the tires. I just stood there in the middle of the crowd, smiling, thinking. Finally, we went home. We went home, and I slept on the couch because there weren't enough bedrooms to go around. Everybody said goodnight. It's about midnight. I was lying there trying to sleep when suddenly I heard that family 3 houses down start singing that song again. I can't stand it. Like I was in a trance, I swung my legs off the couch and I walked into the bathroom and I took shoe polish and I put it on my face and I walked closer and closer to the sound of that singing. I put on my combat fatigues. I crouched outside their window. And I took a length of 50-pound test monofilament fishing line with 2 clothespins tied at either end. And I wrapped it tight around my fists. I waited till the lights went out and then I crept in. And I went from room to room with the garrote. From from bedroom to bedroom, sliding in, my dog tags glinting. I pulled it tight. Well, somebody must have gurgled a little louder than I thought. A little louder than I anticipated, because the door swung open, and there in their rec room, it was packed with visitors that had come over for the holiday. They came, they said, "What you do?" I said, "I didn't want to have to do this. I was afraid of the noise." But I finally whipped out the Uzi and opened up. It's William Kelly, and I missed a few! Yes! Yeah. I love it! I feel so free! I fired until the barrel melted. I fired until I didn't have a round of ammunition left. I threw the gun aside and picked up my M16 to go mopping up anybody who had survived my initial barrage. The guy had three dogs. He must have been a rancher. One of them came in, disconcerted by the noise, looked up at me and said, I said, shut up! Finally, the place caught fire. From all that lead slung, the curtains caught fire, but I didn't leave. I stood there amidst the mud and the blood and the busted metal Mac. I stood there as the flames licked up around me. Finally, the flames caught the propane tank the maggot had in the backyard, and it detonated, throwing me tuckers over tea kettle out into the snow. And I just stood there as the house burned and crashed and crackled until there was nothing left. Until it was quiet. I lit a Camel and leaned against a tree. And I watched as every piece of wallpaper, every foundation in the house burned level with the ground. There was a steadily falling snow. And finally, as the snowflakes hit the flames, they eventually put out the fire and covered up the home of Lim Duck. I stood there for a while, watching the snow get deeper and deeper on the rubble. When a car pulled up and a bunch of people popped out with steaming cups of coffee and boxes of donuts, they looked around a little disconcerted. They said, "Hey, buddy, you know where the house of Lim Duck is? Where the welcome wagon?" I pointed to the rubble. I said, "I think he did a little remodeling." They stood in shocked horror as they looked at the leveled home. I walked over and grabbed the Bavarian cream out of the box. Bit into it hungrily. The guy said, "What kind of country are we? That these people can come in peace! Looking for a new life and be smitten from the face of the earth. What kind of humanity are we that we would permit this kind of transgression? Let me ask you, what kind of civilization do we really have if this kind of thing can happen? Let me ask you, where can we go in the world and be safe if this kind of barbarism lives in our own neighborhood?" I looked at him, I said, "Let me ask you a question. You mind if I have another donut, please?"